to the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat. Are you living where hope is not then? You're lost in the curse of a lifetime of sin.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you.
Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That will remind us that you are God. God all by yourself. We thank you now for the blessings we shall receive through your word. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the people of God give the Lord a hand of praise for his blessings and his goodness. Amen. On this Sunday morning, I want to call your attention to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And I want to, since on next Sunday we will have a guest speaker, I wanted to just kind of touch on this theme that our women have chosen for this year's women's event. Amen. Women of God empowered to serve. And it ties in with our church theme for this year, which is serving the King in 2014. Amen. So in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, I want to call your attention to the first four or five verses of this passage. As a matter of fact, we will read through verse 6. And if you will, read through verse 14 in your own private time. But this morning, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 6, there you will find these words. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For just a few moments this morning, again, we want to speak from the subject, Women of God Empowered to Serve. Thank you, ushers. Women of God Empowered to Serve. Every believer ought to thank God that he has enlisted not just men, but women also into his service. Now, I don't believe that in the realm of God's kingdom, that God has changed his mind about leadership in his church. The Apostle Paul said that God created man for himself and that he created woman for the man. I don't believe that God has gone back on his original design for humanity, and that is that the man is to be the head or the covering for the woman. But neither do I believe that women are relegated to the back of the bus as it relates to service in God's kingdom. I believe that God has empowered women to serve. As a matter of fact, given the perplexity of the time in which we live, we ought to thank God for helpmeets in ministry. We ought to thank God, amen, for women who have a heart, who have a mind, who have passion for serving God. Women of God and men of God, I want you to be constantly and continually aware of the fact that the devil wants to incapacitate you in such a way that you will be unable to serve God. He will send trouble and calamity and distress into your life to get you off track so that you will be unable to render the quality of service that God requires in an hour such as this. We must, my brothers and sisters, always resist the temptation to define our lives by one moment in our lives. Somebody missed that, but I'll say it again, because where you are may be your situation, but it is not your destination. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Even if your possibilities have been crushed, your hopes have been harnessed, your dreams have been deferred, your hands have been tied, your advance has been aborted, that may be your situation, but tell your neighbor, that's not my destination. It is a moment in your life. It is not the sum total of your life. Have there ever been moments in your life where you felt as though your present situation was going to be your permanent location? Like things seemed like things would never change, never improve, never get better. And I believe that there are a whole lot of us in this room who know a whole lot about that, because we have had life to drop us in days that were dripping with disappointments. Nights that were nuanced by pain and moments that were mired in misery. Is there anybody here today who knows that life can deal you some bitter blows that leave you feeling helpless, hopeless, and often unable to go on your way? You find yourself on the verge of giving up. Amen. At the end of the rope, at your wit's end, past the point of no return, tempted to define your entire life by one moment in your life. Do I have a witness this morning? Is there anybody here who has ever been in a situation that was beyond your control, a circumstance that was beyond repair, where a job has been lost without any prospect of a replacement, where the diagnosis was grim with no encouragement of a positive outcome, where the relationship was shattered with no expectation of reconciliation, where the money was lost with no potential of recovery, where the situation looked dead, the funeral procession has passed, the eulogy has been preached, the benediction has been pronounced, and you are unable to envision anything for your life that was not already in your life. But I've come by with some good news this morning. Amen. God is about to take somebody up in here to another level. God is getting ready to transition somebody from a place of weakness to a place of strength and power. Is there anybody in the house today who's tired of living a feeble, weak existence? You want to know what it feels like to walk with your head up high, with your shoulders intact, with the power of God in your heart. Is there anybody here today? Who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has empowered you for service? Because this moment in your life is not your whole life, my brother, my sister. It's just one paragraph on one page in one chapter of your life. And do you know why it is so? It is because God is still alive. Tell your neighbor, God is still alive. And do you know what I like about it? As long as God is alive, God is able to bring power even in the worst situation. God has empowered you to serve. That's the testimony of this text that we're teaching this morning in Ezekiel 37. The people of Israel were tempted to define their journey by one moment in their journey, and to them it looked as though their journey was over, dead, and done. All that was left of their dream of being an independent, autonomous nation was the dry, brittle bones of distant memories, the dry, brittle bones of deferred hopes. And so here they are, the people of God. They felt helpless, hopeless, and powerless to go on, incapable of envisioning anything for their lives that was not already in their lives. If the truth be told, somebody here this morning, you walked in here today unable to envision anything in your life that was not already a part of your life. Unable to see anything beyond your situation except your aggravation, your frustration, and your irritation. But here's the good news of the text. God is getting ready to empower you to serve Him. The context of this text is the defeat, capture, enslavement, and bondage of the people of Israel in one sweeping military maneuver.
The armies of Babylon, you Bible readers will remember, they had devastated the nation of Israel. They had destroyed their temple, had taken the best and brightest to Babylon, where now they would be compelled to serve the Babylonians. Now they would have to provide free labor. Oh my, oh my. I don't want to talk about history, but as a people, we know something about what it means to provide free labor. Building the Babylonian economy without a hint of freedom, restoration, or reparation anywhere. They would use their ingenuity. They would use their creativity. They would use their energy, watch this, to make somebody else rich. We are privy to a piercing portrait of their predicament in Psalm 137, where the text reports that periodically they would park by the river, and their oppressors, the Babylonians, would roll up on them and taunt them, saying, "Sing us now one of your songs of Zion." Oh my, and you Bible readers will remember the Bible says that they would hang their harps on the willow trees in aggravation and agitation. They would reply in despondency and melancholy, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Anybody ever been there? You ever been in those moments, amen, where you wanted to sing, you wanted to give God praise, but the devil was stacking the stack against you. The devil was messing with your marriage. The devil was messing with your children. The devil was messing with your job. Every time you turned around, it seemed like something else was falling apart. But do you know what excites God? God gets excited with people who will praise him even in the problem. God gets excited with people who will give him praise even when the roof is leaking, when the bottom falls out, when the money is funny and the change is strong. Is there anybody here today who has learned how to praise God in a strange land? Their situation was dim, dire, and desperate. Yet God was determined to develop them, so that they could later, amen, amen, give him praise. And the Bible says, God called one of them to speak to all of them. And that's the first element that I want to give you today, amen, that God requires, if you're going to be empowered for his service, tell your neighbor, all God needs is a person. Oh, come on, look at that other neighbor and say, all God needs is you. Is there anybody who knows that you and God are enough? God called one of them to speak to all of them. And his job was to remind the people of God that God was not handicapped by the crisis of their current circumstance. All that one person needed to do was remind them that God was still in charge. Tell your neighbor, God is still in charge. I don't care how it looks, God is still in charge. God wanted him to prophetically speak to those who were in exile. You see, Ezekiel was a strange prophet because he had strange visions, Sister Moore. And I might as well be the one to tell you that if God is going to use your life, amen, if God is going to empower your life, you're going to have to get comfortable with people seeing you as strange. You're going to have to get comfortable with people looking at you a little weird. You're going to have to get comfortable with people thinking that you're a little peculiar, that there's something that I can't quite put my hands on about them. And can I clarify the situation in my own life? I am strange. I am peculiar because I'm a servant of the Most High God. Is there anybody here who understands that if you're going to work for God, if you're going to walk with God, there has to be something different about your life? Ezekiel was a strange prophet. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you, you're going to have to become comfortable with people who cannot understand what you're trying to say, because they don't see what you see. They don't feel what you feel. They don't know what you know. Ezekiel was a strange prophet, commissioned to interject into the situation of those who in exile a word of both, watch this, judgment and hope. I said judgment and hope. Oh, y'all don't see it. You don't see it. He was called upon by God, amen, to give them a word of both judgment and hope. You see, his first responsibility was to enable Israel to understand that their captivity was not accidental, it was not incidental, but it was providential. Oh my. His responsibility was to get them to understand that things were like things were because they were reaping the harvest of their own choices. Somebody's going to get it in a minute. You're going to get it in a minute. You see, all God needs to empower even a dead situation is one somebody who understands providence. So I guess I need to go to the dictionary, to the Bible dictionary for somebody, because you don't know what providence means. Providence simply means God is in control. Providence simply means God is in charge. Providence simply means God is running things. I know you thought, amen, that you were in control and you got a few degrees to subdue the level of ignorance you've attained, amen. You've been to a Bible school or a seminary and now can't nobody tell you nothing. But is there anybody here who knows that God will put you in a situation? He will put you in a crisis. He will put you in a position where you've got to admit God is in control. There is nothing in your life or mine that is not there by divine permission. There is no way that what God did, there is no way that what did happen could have happened if God did not permit it to happen. Because when you're in a relationship with God, there is no accidental. There is no incidental. There is no coincidental. It's all providential. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if you're sneaking around, running around, trying to plot your promotion, trying to plot your success, trying to plan your future elevation, you're just a fool, because you have not accepted the reality that God is in control. Is there anybody here? I come by to tell some. Quit worrying about those haters on your job. Quit worrying about folks sneaking around trying to win favor with folk, thinking that if I get this one to like me, if I get this one to like, yeah, you better testify, thinking if I get this one to like me, that somehow I can get in your place. I have come by to tell you today, God is in control. Give him praise in this place. God is behind it all. And if it comes with God's permission, that also means that it's there because of God's purpose. And if it's there because of God's purpose, on the tail end of it will be God's presence. And whenever, my brothers and sisters, there is God's permission, whenever there is God's purpose and God's presence, it'll be pointing to God's promise. And when you're wrapped up, when you're tied up in God's promise, you can expect to have one more thing. You can expect to have his power. Is there anybody here today who can thank God for his permission? Because you know that his permission is tied to his purpose. And his purpose is tied to his promise. And his promise is tied to his presence. And his presence is tied to his power. Is there anybody here who can thank God for power? Power. So you don't have to see how it's going to work out. Just trust that if God is in it, God will work it out. Oh, that was a shouting point right there.
Somebody's in a situation right now. You don't know how it's going to work out. But I come by to tell you that if God is in it, baby, go to sleep at night. Go to sleep at night. Stop worrying about it. Because if God brought you to it, is there anybody here who knows he will bring you through it? So I've come by to tell you today, I've come by to tell you that when you look at the people of God, when you look at the children of Israel in our text, you need to understand that God had already been good to them. Not yet. Amen. Not yet. Not yet. God had already been good to them. This wasn't the first time that God was about to show himself powerful in their lives. You see, God had already emancipated them from oppression down in Egypt in a miraculous manner. Amen. He had already kept them as the apple of his eye. God had already opened doors for them. He already had fought battles for them. And yet, instead of serving God and instead of praising God, they forgot about God. They turned their backs on God. So God permitted some things to happen. Is there anybody here who knows that God will permit some stuff to happen? There's a point at which you can get in your life where God says, I see I got to check you. Don't think that you can play God. Don't think that you can take God's kindness for weakness. Don't put yourself in a position where God has to check you. Will you help me preach this? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Is there anybody here who knows that God is not playing today? Amen, amen. But whenever we get out of line with God, he has a way of disciplining us. But what I like about my Father is that even when he's disciplining me, he's also in the process of developing me. He don't mean me no harm. He wants the good for me. He has my best interests at heart. Is there anybody here who's glad to serve a God who has your best interests at heart? And do you know why I can say it? I can say it because the Bible teaches that judgment is always preceded by grace and mercy. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that before God whips my tail, he lets me experience his grace and his mercy. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Amen, amen. You know you're about to get in trouble. You know you're about to go somewhere. God said, don't go there. Don't do that. Amen, amen. But before he put that belt on you, before he put that extension cord on you, he showed you again how much he loved you. He reminded you again how good his grace is. Is there anybody here today? If you know that if it had been left up to justice, well, let me talk about me. If it had been left up to justice, I would be dead and sleeping in my grave. But I thank God today that I didn't get justice. I got grace. Now I understand why the songwriter could say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't know about you, but I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. So therefore, Ezekiel speaks in chapter 37. And says, look at what he says. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. The spirit of the Lord took hold of me and carried me into a valley that was filled with dry bones. He led me around among the old dry bones.
that cover the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. See, all God needs to transform and empower even a dead, dry situation is a person that understands providence. But watch this, watch this, watch this. Someone who is also uninhibited by people. I'm trying to tell you, women, ladies, how to walk in the power of God, how to allow God to empower. Number one, you need to understand providence. But then secondly, you've got to make up in your mind